Once again, we welcome all of our Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts here with their troop leaders and their families on this 112th anniversary of Boy Scouts of America. And I would like to get you all to stand along with your parents. Let's get all of our scouts to stand up and acknowledge all the good they do for our parish, our school, and our community. Welcome. Yes. You guys have something I lack. I went and was a Cub Scout for one night. I don't know if I chose to leave or they kicked me out, but that's as far as it went. So thank you for being here today. You can have a seat. And then if we have any Eagle Scouts out there, if there are any Eagle Scouts in the congregation, would you stand so these Cub Scouts can see that we have some in our midst? Don't lie to me. There's not one Eagle Scout in this church. Interesting. For shame. You will have to all be Eagle Scouts, so the next time I ask, we will have some. Okay? You accept the challenge? Deer in the headlights. Okay. This Sunday morning, across 24 time zones, in every country, with the exception perhaps of one, on every continent, everybody is worrying about the same thing and praying for the same thing. We're all worrying about Ukraine, and we're all praying for peace. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has declared Ash Wednesday, this March the 2nd, just days from now, to be a day of prayer and fasting for peace in Ukraine. When we see war break out, and there's never a good reason for it, we realize that this is not heaven. This is not our home. This world will always be full of tragedy and sadness and sickness and even death. And in the face of all of that, Paul the Apostle, who himself was marked for martyrdom from the very moment he became a Christian, he says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Where is your power?" St. Paul understood that on the cross, Jesus had war done to his body, but he won that war and achieved a great victory at a great price. And with that cross, he used it as a key to unlock for us the gates of heaven, to find a way out of here so that one day we can leave this world with all of its disasters and despair behind and go to see the face of God, where there will be peace and light and happiness and joy. So our encouragement for our Christian brothers and sisters under attack today in the Ukraine is exactly what St. Paul said: be firm and be steadfast, because our victory is in Jesus Christ. And that goes for any of us, and that goes for every battle we face, to know that Jesus has in fact won the war, and he intends to share his great victory with us. In the gospel today, we hear a continuation of what Jesus was talking about in the very same sermon that began on last Sunday's gospel. It's the Sermon on the Plain in the 6th chapter of Luke. And last week, Jesus boiled the gospel down to its essence. He told us, "Forgive and you will be forgiven. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Give and gifts will be given to you, for the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you." Jesus was expanding on the golden rule: treat other people the way you want to be treated. But I think he was raising the bar, encouraging us to treat other people the way God has treated us in Christ. And that's with love and mercy. Every time we asked, he never said no when we said we are sorry. Jesus' great hope is that he extends God's mercy to us, that we will then share it with those around us, not being less forgiving than he is, but becoming more forgiving because he is so forgiving, freely and frequently overlooking the wrongs we have done. And that's why Jesus then talks about good fruit from the good tree, rotten fruit from the bad tree, and telling us we should store up for ourselves good fruits, not only for our salvation, not only for our benefit, but also for the good of those around us. And in a world so filled with hatred, in a world where there is so much despair and violence and war and murder, we need to be the fruit of the good tree so that we can be light in the darkest of places, to give a world in despair hope of better and brighter tomorrows. To drive home Jesus' point, he talks about the splinter and the beam, that how the average person is so quick to point out and to find fault with the actions of other people, but in doing so, in voicing those concerns and pointing out their faults and failings, we're often neglecting to pay attention to the beam in our own eye, where we're magnifying the wrongs they have done and minimizing anything that we might have done. It's called rationalization, making excuses, as if we are without sin and they do nothing right. Jesus had a term for that, and he used it often in the Gospels. He called that hypocrisy. He refers to the hypocrites today, who are those very people, finding fault with everyone but themselves. A hypocrite comes from the Greek, one who wears a mask. Not a KN95, not the mask we've been plastered with for the last 2 years, but rather the mask where we portray one thing out in public where people can see us, and maybe quite another thing at home with our family where the darkness comes out, or in our hearts where only we and God know what is lurking within. Jesus walks the walk, he talks the talk all the way up to Calvary, and he wants us to try to bring the two things together, so that what people see when we're out in public is the same thing they would see at home, and that both are not bad, but both should be good. The good fruit from the good tree. The good tree is the cross. The fruit is the water of our baptism and the blood of the Eucharist that flowed from Jesus' side when Longinus thrust him through with his spirits an ocean of mercy, washing our sins away, washing sinners clean, cleansing this world in a far more effective way than Noah's flood, because Noah's flood washed away the people. Jesus' flood of mercy from his side washes the people clean and helps to give us a fresh start and a new beginning every time we need it, each time we ask. And he's hoping we will increase in our desire and ability to give other people a second chance, 10,000 chances, the benefit of the doubt. Instead of only contacting other people to say bad things that we have heard that someone may have done, maybe calling someone up to say something good we've heard about someone. That's where we can make this world more full of love and less full of hate. Jesus was speaking not only to his disciples. Anytime he opened his mouth in a public setting, he was also speaking to his critics, and of those there were many. There's the Supreme Court of Israel. It is the Sanhedrin. There are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the scholars of the law. These people who knew God's word and could quote it, these people who knew God's law and had it memorized. But there was only one thing missing: mercy. They were the self-righteous. Being the elite, they believed that God's word and God's law were entrusted to them and only them to decide the fate and future of other people, more as judge, jury, and executioner than anything else. And whereas God gave those tools, his word and his law, as instruments of salvation, in the hands of the wrong people, in the hands of hypocrites and the self-righteous, those instruments of salvation became wedges and weapons that the Pharisees were using not to make people feel loved by God, but rather doomed. Instead of bringing people to right relationship with him and restoring their relationships with others, in the hands of Pharisees, God's word and God's law were being used to divide them, one from another, to make them feel far from God, unlovable, untouchable, unworthy, unclean. And every time those Pharisees were applying God's word and God's law in that way, they were refusing to apply it back to themselves. They admitted of no sin, no fault, no failing. I'm great and you're in trouble. That never worked for Jesus, but he came to die for the Pharisees too, because he loves them also. In this world where there will always be war, sickness, sadness, disasters, despair, and death, we Christians are called to be that good fruit from that good tree, so that we can be hope for the hopeless, light for those in darkness, and give everyone the hope that there is a world far beyond and far better than this one that beckons us all. And now I would like to welcome the catechumens and candidates from the RCA to come forward for their dismissal.